This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go! What, go to the lottery? Is that what the Knicks song is? Do they play that in the arena? Man.
From the 90s.
Somebody honestly should be just... Somebody should just be put in jail for that. Well, it is the 90s. It's only been two decades, right? Since Relevancy? It's unbelievable. Absolutely. What was the year? 98? When Pat Riley took them as an 8 seed?
That 99.
99.
Wait, Pat Riley was a coach.
Not Pat Riley. No, he wasn't coaching them. Van Gundy at that point.
Yeah.
Riley in 94.
Riley left for the Heat in 95.
95. Michael Pena joins us from SB Nation, covers the NBA. And Michael, I always laugh at the term Mecca. The Mecca is the Knicks, because Mecca is something that people make pilgrimages to and flock to, where it seems like everybody has chosen to take the hard pass of not being a Knick. Do you think that changes this offseason?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think the Mecca is Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks just kind of play basketball there.
I love that.
That's how I view it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, there's been so much activity and seismic events have happened over the past week between the Anthony Davis trade and obviously the injuries to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. I mean, my guess would have been that KD was the most likely player, marquee free agent to go there. And now I think that the calculus there for him has probably changed a little bit. So I'm not really that optimistic on New York getting, I think, the type of players that they wanted. And I'm not sure what their move is now with all this cap space and whether or not they splurge on B level or even C level max guys, or they roll it over to next summer when, by the way, there's really not any great players entering the pool. So it's a really difficult situation for them.
Down in Atlanta, there was speculation that the Hawks could potentially offer 8 and 10 to get the fourth pick in the draft. And I asked Shaq about it on the podcast we do together, and Shaq goes, 8 plus 10 does not equal 4. Nobody's making that deal. Do you believe the Knicks might try to take that pick and trade it into more picks? Or do you think they're looking to actually grab a talent or maybe trade for a veteran talent?
The third pick, right. Yeah.
Third pick, so, I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I were them, this is you're rebuilding at this point. You're not going to, in all likelihood, make that leap forward that you thought you would by signing a healthy Kevin Durant and a healthy Kyrie or a healthy Kemba. So if I were them, I would, you know, draft who I believe is the best player available at that third pick. I would not try to fast forward this thing for any reason. I mean, they have some young, talented pieces. I think you develop them and you look at those pieces as assets going forward for the next time a superstar becomes disgruntled, and you can kind of have as impressive a trade package as anybody. But I don't know what player out there makes sense for you to move up and spend money on at this point. And I can see the argument for trading the third for the eighth and the 10th. But I think that if the gap between, say, RJ Barrett and, I don't know, who would 8 and 10 be, you know, Cam Reddish and maybe somebody else, if the gap there is that wide, in your opinion, then you just go with the best player available. That's what this league is all about.
The Lakers acquiring Anthony Davis makes the Lakers, as currently constituted today, their roster today, makes them a what seed, you know, in the West?
Yeah, that's a tricky one because there's like four players on the team right now.
Sure. But with the core that they're going to be building around, what do you think?
I think that they have the best duo in the league easily, and I think that that matters in a league right now where there's just no more super teams. I think the era of a team like the Golden State Warriors constructing, you know, three or four All-NBA players on it, I think the CBA is doing its job, and I don't think that that's going to be a thing going forward, potentially ever again. So if you have two top seven, top six, top five guys, and they really, in my opinion, complement each other pretty well on both ends, it wouldn't surprise me if this team were to put the right pieces around these guys and win the championship this year. But that's more based on I'm looking across the landscape, and there's really no top-tier competitor right now. And there's just so much in the air, obviously, with some guys' health, and then, you know, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, all these guys, what they're going to do in free agency. But today, I'd say that just in terms of pure talent, you have to really like and respect what the Lakers have.
If the NBA is a copycat league, and like they always say, some sports have a copycat league, first of all, do you think it's a copycat league? And can anybody copy the formula of how Toronto maneuvered quickly to build a championship club to a core that was constantly knocking on the door in the East?
I mean, it's definitely a copycat league for sure. And I think that if anything, the influence that Toronto will have as a champion is the value of kind of keeping everything together, but also making the big gamble at the same time if an opportunity to gamble presents itself, and not being afraid of a really great, truly great player in a walk year and acquiring them, and thinking that your culture can either convince them to stay or that player will be good enough to push you over the edge. So there's not a ton of teams that are in the same situation that Toronto was in, just, you know, banging their head against the wall with 50 win teams over and over again and never getting to the finals, and then just being so frustrated that they didn't give up a ton to get Kawhi Leonard, but they did give up, you know, a homegrown franchise icon in DeMar DeRozan, which you don't really see a ton of. So it's tough to mimic what they did for sure. But if anybody is going to, I think that some teams might look at free agents in walk years and not hesitate as much as they would have in the past.
All right, I'm going to indulge myself with a Sixers question because I am a Sixers fan. I heard a bunch of my friends try to tell me, wow, the Sixers were one bucket away from winning the NBA championship in Game 7. That's their championship they should have had. I don't see it that way. I just don't. How do you see the Sixers falling short?
It's a tough one for sure. That you brought that team up 2-1, could have gone up 3-1 when Kawhi hit that step back from the right wing. Forget about the four bounce buzzer beater in Game 7. So it's definitely a tough pill to swallow if you're the Sixers. I agree with you. I don't think that necessarily means they would have gone on to win the title. I mean, in that universe where that ball does not go in and they win that Game 7, you know, you still have to beat the Bucks, and the Bucks were really good. I mean, they were up 2-0. They took the Raptors to a double overtime game in Game 3. That could have gone either way easily. So, you know, the Bucks could be the champions right now.
Sure.
They're kicking themselves as well. And then, you know, also in this alternate universe, who knows what the health situation is with the Golden State Warriors, who, by the way, are extremely formidable. And, you know, if that last look that Steph had in Game 6 goes in, and then what happens in Game 7? The margin here is just so small for all these teams, I think. And if I were a Sixers fan, I'd feel good more than bad about how the season ended, to be honest.
Michael, I hope you enjoy the off season in the NBA because it is going to be exciting, and we'll be watching along and checking you out at SB Nation. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Great to have Michael Payne to join us this morning here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.